Okay, we'll wind up the day now with the exam, and let me make a couple of announcements while Dr. Huey tries to recover his voice. Let me remind you that tomorrow we'll start at 8 o'clock, will be the first session, and breakfast will be at 7. So that's 8 o'clock and breakfast at 7. I also remind you to leave your keypads after this exam just sitting on the table. Don't take them out with you. We need to have those returned, and you can just leave them in place, and we'll be there for you tomorrow. Okay, so we will try to wind up the day now with a fun little exam. I'll read the questions as we've done before, and we've got a few submitted questions that we will also be doing. Okay, first question. Indistinctness of the endocardial border of a myocardial perfusion SPECT scan may be anticipated due to all of the following except A, substitution of thallium 201 for either technetium 99M, cestamibi, or tetraphosmin. B, substitution of a LEAP collimator for a low energy, high resolution collimator. Substitution of a 0.6 critical frequency for a 0.42 critical frequency while applying the Butterworth filter, and D, increasing the detector to heart radius of rotation. And the correct answer is C. Any comments?
Sure. Okay.
Is this...
Okay, got it. All right. So, okay, thallium. Remember, lower energy, weaker flash in the scintillation detector, poor signal, more difficult resolution with the photomultiplier tubes, therefore poor spatial resolution and blurrier borders. Okay? Remember, LEAP collimator gives you higher count density, but poor resolution, thus poor definition of the borders. All right. D, go back, please.
We're not finished.
Not finished. D, okay, as you move the detector away from the heart, remember this results in more Compton scatter reaching the parallel holes, getting into the parallel holes, and blurring your images. Okay, why is C correct? Okay, remember the lower the critical frequency, the blurrier the image. So 0.6 is a lot sharper than 0.42. Okay.
Next question. A patient underwent a technetium 99M tetraphosmin myocardial perfusion SPECT study for suspected coronary artery disease 1 year prior to and 6 months following a left mastectomy. Compared to the pre-mastectomy scan, which of the following should be anticipated to be observed in the post-mastectomy scan? A, an interval decrease in relative anterior count density. B, an interval decrease in relative inferior count density. C, an artifact due to radiotracer concentration in the healing scar tissue in the left anterior chest wall. And D, a center of rotation artifact due to asymmetry of the patient's thoracic soft tissue.
Good.
Correct answer is B. Next question. A patient undergoing rest stress technetium 99M cestamibi SPECT demonstrates right hemidiaphragmatic elevation and intense radiotracer concentration in the liver in the planar projection images. SPECT images are processed using filtered back projection. The artifact most likely to be present in the processed tomograms is A, flood field non-uniformity artifact, B, center of rotation artifact, C, ramp filter artifact, D, attenuation artifact.
Okay.
And the correct answer is C.
Okay. Remember, this is right hemidiaphragmatic elevation. So that's not going to create an attenuation artifact of the inferior wall of the left ventricle. But the liver activity is very intense. Remember, it's in the X plane of the heart. So the ramp filter extends all the way across the X plane. It's not just adjacent to the heart, it's a repetitive filter. And even though the activity may be far away from the heart, if it's in the X plane, it still can be, it can still cause a ramp filter artifact.
Next question. A patient undergoing rest stress, technetium 99M cestamibi SPECT, demonstrates right hemidiaphragmatic elevation and intense radial concentration in the liver in the planar projection images. SPECT images are processed using filter back projection. In the above patient, diffusely decreased tracer concentration is observed throughout the myocardium in the stress tomograms. This finding is most likely due to stress-induced global LV myocardial ischemia, B, incorrect image normalization, C, ramp filter artifact, D, Compton scatter of extrinsic activity into the myocardium. Yep, and the correct answer there is B. They did well with that one. Next. Which is the best projection of an equilibrium radionuclide angiography study to calculate the left ventricular ejection fraction? A, anterior, B, 45 degree LAO, C, best septal view, and D, 70 degree LAO. And the correct answer is best septal view. I made a strong point for you not to think about a fixed angle for the LAO of 45 degrees. Not everyone will have the best separation of the two ventricles or the best visualization of the septum at 45 degrees. You have to adjust the camera, find that best angle of separation, and it is that view that you take your ejection fraction calculation from. Next. Okay, the scenario is, as we've read before, right hemidiaphragmatic elevation and intense radiotracer concentration in the liver. To minimize artifacts in this particular patient, which of the following measures would be least helpful? A, widen the energy window over the technetium 99M 140 keV photo peak. B, substitute iterative reconstruction for filtered back projection. C, performed prone imaging. And D, delay image acquisition for 1 hour. And the correct answer is A. Very good. Next. It is an advantage to acquire upright compared to supine first pass imaging because A, pulmonary background is reduced, B, better separation of the ventricles, C, left ventricle is not superimposed over the descending aorta, and D, liver and intensities drop lower in the field of view of the camera. Okay, the correct answer is A, and I'm not sure we actually covered this in first pass, so I can understand the splay in answers. But if a patient is upright, the sheer gravitational force on the radio tracer as it transits the pulmonary circulation will decrease pulmonary background, so you get a better target-non-target ratio of heart counts compared to lung field counts if the patient is in the upright position when the bolus is injected. Next. A patient undergoes resting myocardial perfusion SPECT using the following protocol. 40-minute post-8 millicurie acquisition with technetium 99M sestamibi. 2, high-resolution parallel hole collimation. 3, dual-headed fixed 90-degree detectors and 180-degree acquisition. 4, filtered back projection using a Butterworth filter with a cutoff frequency of 0.4 in an order of 10. Which of the following will increase image count density? A, substitute thallium. B, substitute a LEAP collimator. C, decrease the cutoff frequency to 0.32. D, decrease the order to 5. The correct answer is B. Any comments?
Yeah, a LEAP collimator has wider holes or shorter holes, and it increases the sensitivity by a factor of about 2.3. So you can pretty dramatically increase your count density. The last two options, they're just processing. There's nothing that doesn't, they have no effect on the counts that you've acquired. It's just the smoothness of the image that you display.
Next question. A patient undergoes a resting myocardial perfusion SPECT using SPECT acquisitions 40 minutes.
Same
scenario as before. Which of the following will least likely change the appearance of the LV cavity size? A, substitute thallium. B, substitute the LEAP collimator. C, substitute a single-headed camera and double the SPECT acquisition time. And D, decrease the cutoff frequency to 0.32. And the correct answer is C. Very good. Next question. Inclusion of the spleen in the background region of interest of a planar equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography study will result in the following error. A, decrease LV end diastolic volume. B, increase LV end diastolic volume and systolic volume. C, increase LVEF. And D, decrease LVEF. And the correct answer is C.
Remember, the background is the subtrahend of the denominator. You have more counts in the spleen, therefore a lower denominator and a higher ejection fraction.
Next. Equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography is contemplated in a patient with atrial fibrillation. To determine if gating in this patient is feasible, which of the following parameters should be most seriously considered? A, LVEF determined from previous echocardiography or LV contrast ventriculography. B, average heart rate. C, R wave amplitude. D, R to R interval variability. Very good. Nothing to elaborate on there. Correct answer is obviously D. Next. Which of the following parameters are routinely quantified with gated blood pool SPECT, but not with first-pass radionuclide ventriculography? A, left ventricular ejection fraction. B, left ventricular volume. C, right ventricular ejection fraction. D, right ventricular volume. The correct answer is D, right ventricular volume. Remember that those volumes are calculated in blood pool SPECT routinely in the output because you have a better estimation of the three-dimensional characteristic of the ventricles.
remember that with first pass, we do calculate volumes. Maybe you're thinking of gated blood pool imaging, but first pass, you get volumes. Gated blood pool imaging, you don't.
I can't hear you.
Which are routinely quantified with gated blood pool SPECT, but not with first pass?
So routinely, at the output of the gated blood pool SPECT, you'll always see the right ventricular and left ventricular volumes as well as EF calculated. With first pass, you can only do the volumes on the left ventricle. Okay, next question. When processing an equilibrium rate endocardial angiogram study, the ejection fraction should be calculated from A, a 3x3 smooth study, B, raw data, C, 3x3x3 smooth data, D, a 5x5 smooth data set. Very good. Correct answer is B. You never want to calculate EF on manipulated data. Next. Which of the following parameters can be quantified with gated blood pool SPECT, but not by planar equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography? A, left ventricular ejection fraction. B, left ventricular volume. D, left ventricular peak emptying rate. And D, left ventricular peak filling rate. And the correct answer is B.
Remember, the emptying rates and filling rates are dependent upon the temporal resolution of the study. With a gated blood pool study, you're doing 32 frames per cardiac cycle, and therefore you should be able to calculate these rates very well. On the other hand, with a SPECT study, you're doing 16 or maybe 8 frames, and that generally doesn't give you the adequate temporal resolution to calculate filling and emptying rates.
Next question. In a patient undergoing chemotherapy for breast cancer, sequential evaluation of LV function with equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography is performed. Chemotherapy should not be continued for which of the following results?
Table didn't show up.
And you're supposed to see a table. I'm not sure if you see that table on your printouts. Hopefully you do, so you will have a choice between A, B, C, or D. Correct answer is D. Very good. Next question. The LV volume curve gives information about all of the following except A, beat rejection, gating accuracy, systolic function, diastolic function. And the correct answer is A. The volume curve doesn't necessarily give you information. This is not a very specific kind of answer, but the probably best answer of that would be beat rejection. Certainly, it does give you some information about gating accuracy as that curve, the end-diastolic point on that curve should line up with the first or second frame. Next, evaluation of right ventricular ejection fraction with first pass radionuclide ventriculography can be improved by A, rapidly injecting the radiotracer bolus, B, slowly injecting the radiotracer bolus, C, asking the patient to breath hold during radiotracer bolus, and D, inject the radiotracer bolus with the patient at end expiration. And the correct answer is B. Next question. Using nuclear techniques, a peak stress ejection fraction can be acquired by A, planar and first pass RNA, B, planar IRNA and gated SPECT MPI, C, SPECT IRNA and first pass RNA, and D, SPECT IRNA and SPECT MPI. And the correct answer is A. If you can do a exercise bicycle study with equilibrium radionuclide angiography, bring the patient to peak stress, you can calculate ejection fraction, or at first pass, injecting that bolus at peak exercise in that technique, you can calculate ejection fraction as well.
The other key is that you can't perform SPECT during exercise.
Next question. For rest and exercise first pass radionuclide ventriculography, which of the following findings is most specific for coronary ischemia? A, failure to increase LVEF during exercise. B, a decrease in LVEF during exercise. C, an exercise-induced regional wall motion abnormality. And D, an exercise-induced increase in LV volume. And the correct answer is C. Next question. Which of the following is most commonly associated with attenuation correction of myocardial perfusion SPECT? A, overcorrection of anterior breast attenuation artifacts due to underlying lung with a low attenuation coefficient. B, inadequate correction of anterior breast attenuation artifacts due to underlying lung with a low attenuation coefficient. C, overcorrection of inferior diaphragmatic attenuation artifacts due to scatter from adjacent subdiaphragmatic activity. And D, inadequate correction of the inferior diaphragmatic attenuation artifacts due to underlying subdiaphragmatic structures with high attenuation coefficients. Very good. The correct answer is C. Next question. Of the following methods, which provides the most accurate assessment of left ventricular peak filling rate? A, planar equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography. B, SPECT equilibrium radionuclide ventriculography. C, gated myocardial perfusion SPECT. And D, CT contrast ventriculography. Correct answer is A. Very good. Next, as compared to a non-gated acquisition, a rhythmic beat rejection during gated perfusion SPECT invariably results in A, decreased myocardial count density, B, a lower LVEF, C, TID, D, artifactual myocardial perfusion defects. And the correct answer is A. Next question. Attenuation correction of technetium-99M myocardial SPECT is routinely accomplished using which of the following transmission scanning line sources? A, cobalt 57, B, technetium 99M, C, gadolinium 153, D, thallium 201, E, americium 241. And the correct answer is gadolinium 153. Cobalt 57's energy is a little bit close to technetium. Be difficult to achieve good transmission scanning there. Next question. Using attenuation correction with misregistration of transmission and emission scans occurs more commonly with A, scanning line sources, or B, low-dose X-ray CT. And the, wow, this one's closer than I expected. The correct answer is B.
I mentioned this, maybe it wasn't clear. With the scanning line sources, you do what's called an interleaved acquisition, where you do the emission scan and then the transmission scan for one stop, and then you move the camera to the next position and do the emission, transmission, and so on and so forth, all the way for 64 stops. So it's unlikely that the patient will move between the transmission and emission of each of these stops. If you do X-ray CT, you do the emission scan, and then when you're finished, then you do the transmission scan. So the two are done sequentially, and therefore the opportunity for patient movement between the emission scan and the transmission scan is pretty great.
Next, attenuation correction is most accurate for myocardial perfusion SPECT performed using a myocardial perfusion radiopharmaceutical labeled with A, technetium 99M, B, thallium 201, C, gallium 67, and D, iodine 123. Correct. The correct answer is A, technetium. Next. Technetium 99M red blood cell tagging efficiency is greatest with A, in vivo tagging, B, in vitro tagging, C, modified in vivo tagging, and D, electrophoresis. Correct answer is B. Get just a little bit better total bound fraction when that labeling occurs outside of the blood pool, where there are other competing processes for the sequestration of protactinate. Next question. What is the optimum number of frames per cycle that should be acquired in equilibrium radionuclide angiography planar study for ejection fraction calculations? 8, B, 16, C, 24, D, 32. And the correct answer is 32. We mentioned that from the ASNIC guidelines, 32 frames per RR interval. Next, a peak stress LVEF can be acquired using which of the following nuclear techniques? A, SPECT equilibrium radionuclide angiogram, B, planar equilibrium radionuclide angiogram, C, SPECT myocardial perfusion, and D, planar myocardial perfusion. Very good. Correct answer is B. Anytime you see peak exercise and SPECT, you can associate those as mutually exclusive. Can't do peak stress evaluations using SPECT techniques. Next question. The lowest labeling efficiency is achieved using which of the red blood cell labeling method for equilibrium radionuclide angiography? A, in vivo, B, modified in vivo, C, in vitro, D, commercial in vitro kit. Correct answer is A. Next, when using an in vivo red blood cell tagging method, technetium-99m sodium protectinate should be injected how long after the stannous pyrophosphate? A, 5 minutes, B, 15 minutes, C, 45 minutes, D, 60 minutes. And the correct answer is 15 minutes. Very good. Last question. When performing a first pass radionuclide angiogram to evaluate the left ventricle, the radionuclide should be drawn up in a volume of 0 to 1 ml, B, 2 to 4 ml, C, 5 to 10 ml, D, 11 to 20 ml. And the correct answer is A, 0 to 1 ml. Remember that we want a small volume of injected tracer so we have a better chance of maintaining that bolus. 5 to 10 ml would be a very large volume, more closely would be used in that case with a flushing dose. Okay, have just a couple of submitted questions that we'll do before we wind up. When you say y-axis motion artifact, did you mean caudal cranial motion?
Yes.
Next question is regarding the nomenclature of the walls on MUGA studies or gated blood pool studies. How do the walls correlate to the standard 17-segment model nomenclature used in myocardial perfusion studies, i.e., from the 45-degree LAO best septal view, which shows which walls?
Okay. Remember, you're talking about planar.
Yeah, planar.
It's for each projection.
Well, remember, you're doing a planar view, and you're trying to correlate it with SPECT. And so don't forget, with planar imaging, everything is superimposed. So the walls that you see on FOSS in profile, excuse me, not in FOSS, in profile, in the LAO projection is the lateral wall and the septum. The inferior wall is sort of partly apex and partly inferior wall. And the anterior wall, you have superimposed activity in the ascending aorta and the left atrium. Then in the left lateral view, really the only wall that you're dealing with is the inferior wall, and you're seeing that from the apex to the base. And then in the anterior view, the only wall that you're really seeing very well is the anterior wall going down to the apex. So they correlate, but remember you're dealing with planar imaging with things superimposed versus SPECT imaging where you separate out the adjacent structures.
Okay, and our final question. Low count rate studies are noisy and they create artifacts. What's the minimum accepted counts for a given study to be adequate for interpretation?
That's a very difficult question. The count rate that you often look at when you acquire a study is the counts in the frame. So it depends on your field of view. Obviously, if you have a large field of view camera that's got the liver and the bowel and, you know, the spleen in it, you know, the counts are coming from that. If you have a smaller field of view, more of the counts are just coming from the myocardium. So you really can't use the field of view count rate. So the question is, what about the counts from just the myocardium. Now, it depends on how you look at those. You can do it in several ways. You can take your planar projection images and you put a region of interest around the heart. The question is, what view? Is it the anterior view? Is it the LAO view? Or some systems allow you to actually interrogate the myocardial counts from the reconstructed SPECT images. So because of all this variability, there aren't any really good guidelines. If you look in, I don't know if it's the current guidelines or the old guidelines, there are some recommendations for myocardial counts. But again, I don't think they're very good because of all the issues that I've talked about. In our lab, we actually look at the actual myocardial counts from the reconstructed SPECT images. And I think for a good stress study, you probably need at least 600 counts per pixel in the 600 maximal counts in the myocardium, and for resting images, probably somewhere a maximal of 200. But that's on a particular system. So the bottom line is, I don't think we really know this very well.
Okay, so that'll conclude today's session. Breakfast in the morning at 7. We'll reconvene with sessions at 8 a.m.